This audio is presented to you by Healing Hands for Humanity. You can find us at www.healinghandsforhumanitynetwork.com. Living from the Heart by Nirmala is a book that consists of three parts. This series of audios makes up part two, The Heart's Wisdom. Nirmala can be found at www.endless-satsang.com, where you can also find out more information about parts 1 and 3. The Heart's Wisdom is free to share with family and friends in its original form, though it must not be sold and the author must be acknowledged. The Heart's Quickness. Your heart is incredibly quick. It instantly knows how true something is and instantly opens or closes to that degree. It's so fast that it never really lands anywhere. It is always either opening or closing in response to each moment. So if a thought triggers another thought, the heart will then be reflecting the relative truth of the triggered thought, not the original one. And if this triggered thought triggers another one, then your heart will reflect how true the latest thought is. The openness of your heart can shift very rapidly as you can think another thought. I was working with a woman once who had difficulty taking time for herself. I asked her to check in her heart to see how true it is that it is okay to take time for herself. She closed her eyes for a moment, and when I asked her what had happened, she said she felt an intense contraction. I was surprised, so I asked her to tell me exactly what had happened. She said she thought, "It's okay to take time for myself," and then immediately decided this would be selfish, and her heart contracted. Her heart was showing her how true it was that it would be selfish to take time for herself. It was no longer reflecting the truth of the idea that it is okay to take time for herself. In the quickness of our usual rapid-fire thinking, it can be tricky to determine what your heart is actually responding to. Therefore, when checking in your heart to see how true something is, it is helpful to slow down and take each thought or each possibility one at a time. Exercise. Take a moment to think about a situation in your life. Notice if there are any familiar or recurring thoughts about that situation. Pick one of the main ideas, beliefs, opinions, or attitudes you have about that situation or about someone or something related to it. Now just hold that thought gently in your awareness. Repeat it to yourself a few times, and as you do, notice what happens in your heart. Does it open and soften? Or is there a kind of tightness or hardness that starts to form in your awareness? Remember, either way, your heart is working perfectly to show you how true the thought is. See if you can hold that one simple thought for a moment, almost like a child completely engrossed in whatever he or she is looking at. Holding a thought for a moment gives you a clearer picture of the relative truth of that thought, as indicated by your heart's response while you are focusing completely on it. If your mind wanders and you find yourself having second and third thoughts, or even a whole conversation with yourself about the situation, that's fine. Just note that the heart has moved along with your thoughts and is now showing you the truth of the thought you are having in this moment. The role of judgments. Not only can an initial thought or experience trigger other thoughts, the opening or closing of your heart can itself trigger a thought or judgment that results in the further closing of your heart and a sense of yourself as limited or small. If you are a spiritual seeker and have come to believe that it is better for your heart to be open than closed, then a sudden contraction of the sense of yourself can trigger a further judgment related to not wanting to be contracted, which closes the heart even further. Test it for yourself. Exercise. If you hold the idea that you shouldn't feel contracted, does your heart open? Does that idea allow you to just be? Or does it tighten or limit the sense of yourself? The idea that you shouldn't feel contracted is a limiting idea and usually feels tight or limited because it is simply not very true. There is a certain kind of logic to this cycle of judgment, even though it results in a restricted sense of self. When the sense of yourself contracts, your awareness also contracts and becomes limited, and your unawareness expands. When your field of awareness becomes smaller, the rest of reality lies outside your awareness in that moment. The logic of judgment is based on this simple effect. As a result of a judgment, you become less aware of your experience and temporarily less aware of the initial discomfort that triggered the judgment. Therefore, you get some relief from it. The logic of judgment is based on this temporary relief provided by the reduction in your awareness. However, the flaw in this logic is that now, that contraction of your awareness must be maintained, or you will become aware again of the initial discomfort. Maintaining a contraction is itself uncomfortable. Try making a tight fist and holding it for several moments. It will quickly begin to feel uncomfortable. Similarly, when you keep your awareness contracted to avoid an uncomfortable sensation, this generates even more discomfort. So when a cycle of judgment is triggered, the sense of yourself and your awareness keep getting smaller as you try to avoid the ever-increasing discomfort caused by the same contraction of your sense of self and your awareness. This often continues until you are exhausted by the effort involved in maintaining vigilance against your discomfort, and you simply let go of any judgment. The good news is that whenever you are not contracting your sense of self through small truths, such as judgments, the sense of yourself naturally relaxes and opens. An open, spacious sense of self is a natural resting state of your being, just as your muscles naturally lengthen and expand in the absence of any effort to contract them. So when a cycle of judgment wears you out, there is sometimes a profound release of the small sense of self and the contraction of awareness. In light of this, it's not surprising that many realizations and spiritual awakenings occur immediately following an extremely contracted and painful experience. More good news is that the tendency to judge is not your fault. You were taught to do it by those who raised you, who were taught by those who raised them. They did this because it was the best way they knew to manage their own discomfort. When parents are confronted with the unlimited being of a two-year-old, and we all know how big that can be, they often resort to the best means they know for giving that two-year-old a more limited sense of his or her being, judgment. We eventually learned to do this for ourselves. We learned to judge ourselves and hold limiting ideas about ourselves to get along with the people around us, especially those who clothed and fed us. Judgment is just one of the many ways we limit our experience of the truth and thereby limit our experience of ourself. Other culprits are ideas, beliefs, opinions, concepts, doubts, fears, worries, hopes, dreams, desires, and our usual knowledge. Judgment is just one of the more effective ways of limiting the sense of ourself because it always implies something limiting about the self. Exercise. Make a list of some of the judgments you have about yourself, your life, and other people. Pick ones that you really believe. Now read through your list several times and notice the sense you have of yourself as you do this. Does holding these judgments give you a sense of yourself as someone in particular, someone who has a very definite perspective on life? Do you feel more connected with others and with the world, or do you feel more separate and apart from the world? Even if that separate sense of self feels superior because it has the right judgments, how big or open and relaxed is your sense of self when you have these judgments? This implied someone in all of your judgments is always a small someone, someone who is limited and therefore vulnerable to something bad or who needs to feel superior or for something good to happen to feel better or even survive. The ultimate truth is that you are unlimited. Your being can never be harmed or benefited by any experience. Only a smaller, less true idea of yourself can seem to be harmed or benefited. Positive judgment. What was said about negative judgments applies to positive judgments as well. When some experience triggers a positive judgment, the sense of ourself contracts just as much as when we have a negative judgment. Test this for yourself. Exercise. Think about something you have a very strong positive judgment of, like your favourite movie or something you have done that you are very proud of. Notice what happens to the sense of yourself when you have a positive thought about this. If you find yourself thinking something like, "Great, this is wonderful, wait until I tell my friends," notice what happens to the sense of yourself. You may be surprised to find that your heart isn't as open as it was before the positive judgment. A big truth allows you to relax and just be however you are and to change in any way that naturally happens. A positive idea about yourself implies that you have to continue to be a certain way to be okay. Implied, even in positive judgments, is an idea of yourself as someone who is limited, someone who needs good things to happen to be okay and feel adequate. There's nothing wrong with something good happening. It's just that even your positive judgments are small truths that are based on a small idea of yourself. Your heart will contract just as much for a small positive truth as for a small negative truth. Fortunately, there's nothing you need to do about a small truth beyond recognizing it's small. Besides, even small truths can be useful, so there is no need to try to rid yourself of them, which isn't even possible. Seeing that they are small immediately puts them in perspective. Then, when they arise, they are seen as no big deal. You might still think them, but no matter how often they arise, you recognize them as relatively unimportant. You have probably experienced this ability of a bigger truth to displace or put in perspective a smaller truth. For example, if you or someone you love is suddenly diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, what really matters becomes obvious. The truth or reality of a possible death makes many other truths appear small and insignificant in comparison. You don't need to wait for a big truth to hit you over the head to put your experience in perspective. Simply notice how true each thought is. Experiences come in all different sizes. You are always moving in and out of different degrees of truth, and you are naturally able to discriminate how true each one is. You can determine how truly important something is just by noticing the content of your thought and the sense of self it results in. If it opens and relaxes the sense of yourself, your heart, then it is truly important. If it contracts or limits the sense of yourself, your heart, then it's not. All truth is relative. Truth is all there is. Yet our experience of truth, of reality, is always partial. Right now, your field of vision is partial. You can only see what is in front of you, not what's behind you. Similarly, your heart is always showing you the degree of truth of the experience you are having in the moment. Your view or range of experience is always opening and closing, filling in the blanks in your experience, or forgetting or ignoring parts of your experience. Whenever you focus on a particular aspect of experience, you necessarily stop noticing other aspects. As a result, any particular perspective is either smaller and more limited, larger and more complete, or roughly the same degree of completeness as another perspective. The openness of the sense of yourself is always relative, because truth is always relative. Any particular truth could be experienced as an opening or a closing of your heart. Even a small experience of the truth may be larger than the experience you were just having, and therefore will be experienced as an opening or relaxation in your heart. Similarly, even a fairly large truth can feel limiting if you move into it from an even larger, more spacious experience. For example, if you've lived most of your life paying attention to your thoughts and ideas, then the first time you are put in touch with your emotions will be experienced as an expansion of consciousness. It will feel like you've discovered a new rich dimension of your being. However, if you've had many even larger experiences of much more expanded states of being, possibly through spiritual practices, then moving into a strong emotion like anger, sadness, or excitement may be experienced as a contraction or diminishment of the sense of yourself. The same truth, the same experience of emotion, can be experienced as either an opening up in your heart or a closing down. The difference can be slight, between two experiences with similar degrees of truth, or unimaginably huge. The true dimensions of your being are limitless. You are everything, and when you directly experience this completeness, the sense of self can be equally vast and limitless. Thank you for listening. For those of you who are unaware, we are in a competition. The voting has started again. If you voted previously, you can re-register your vote. Thank you so much for your support. Please remember to vote for love. Go to www.healinghandsforhumanity.com/vote. You will be directed to the main homepage. Please look for our profile to vote. Our profile is Healing Hands for Humanity. Thank you so much.